So the big question is this. How do most agents who don't have access to the secrets that most successful agents hoard to themselves grow and prosper in today's competitive real estate environment? That's the question. And this podcast will give you the answers. I'm Pat Hyben, and welcome to Real Estate Rockstars. All right, Rockstar Nation, I got a great guest today, not a real estate agent per se, but a guy that's been literally, he was born in a piece of real estate. I'll let him explain. And then his whole entire life, he's in his 70s, has been in real estate. And he is followed by thousands and thousands of investors and real estate agents and people interested in the real estate market. And he's going to talk today about some controversial subjects. You know, where is the market headed? What's going on? What should we expect as real estate agents in our very near future? I'm excited today to have Mr. Robert Campbell on Real Estate Rockstars. Robert, welcome, sir. How are you today?
I'm excellent, Pat. Thank you very much for having me. I really feel honored.
Robert, why don't you give a little rundown on yourself so we can get to know you better?
Okay. I am 72 years old. I just turned 72 years old. I like to tell people I was born on a building site because my dad was a home builder for 55 years. I built spec homes for 10 years, so I've been around the building industry my entire life. My dad not only was a general contractor that did contract work, he was also a spec builder. When I was building for 10 years, I did no contract work. I only did spec. Only did spec homes for myself. So I have been around the business for 70 years. I've seen the good times. I've seen the bad times. And not to boast, but that kind of experience has enabled me to build a business that has been that has done very well, and I've helped a lot of people. That one thing I've learned over these last 72 years, and of course I'm a California guy, I'm not Oklahoma City, where in a good year housing prices go up 5%, in a bad year they go down 2%. California is the most boom bust state in the country. I mean, we get wild swings, and I've seen the good times and I've seen the bad times. And what I do for a living is show people how to play the cycle successfully, how to buy low and how to sell high.
I love that. I love that. And I subscribe to Robert's newsletter. I've got his book, and everybody is concerned about today about the high and the low. Quite frankly, they're concerned about, is it high? Let me ask you a couple quick questions. Like, in your cycle, right, and as you've been studying cycles, what is the average amount of years per cycle that you've seen?
Well, I'm most familiar with California, of course, because that's the most cyclical. Typically, California has a six-year up cycle and a six-year down cycle. That's been the pattern for approximately the last 35 years, Pat.
35 years. Okay, so let me stop you there. So 6 years up, 6 years down. That's California. We all know that everybody follows California, you know, by a couple of years, right? Everything starts in California. It might not be as swingy, right? But there are a lot of areas like Austin, Texas, and some of these areas of Washington, D.C. that have had surges bigger than they've had on the last cycle by far. And there's some concerns about, you know, are we going to be like California? Are we going to fly as high and as low as California? The answer is probably not. But you will, there's not going to be a time when California is in the toilet and Austin is kicking ass and continuing to go up 8% a year. So let's talk about the number of years. How long has this last cycle lasted? Isn't it more than six?
Here's the cycles going back in California, because it's the most cyclical. The booms are the bigger booms, bigger busts. 1990 was peak prices. 1996, 6 years later, was the bottom of the market. 2006 was the peak of the market. So that was a 10-year up year. 2012 was the bottom of the market. That was a There's 6 years again. 2019 was the peak of the market in California. So there's 7 years. And I anticipate the next down, you know, just looking at history as one of the best ways to determine what's going to happen in the future, I expect the market in California to bottom in around the end of 2025.
Okay, 2025. So that's
it's never
the peak.
Perfect.
So then it goes right. It's never perfect, but so over the next, let's say, 6 years, right? 2025. Obviously, stick with that.
Right.
It's going to gradually drop, is what you're saying.
Well, I don't know. There's no way to tell if it's going to gradually drop, or I doubt that the downturn is going to be severe as from 2006 through 2012, because during that period of time, housing prices tripled in California. That was a legitimate bubble. And a bubble's an overused word, but I doubt that the downturn is going to be that severe.
Okay. All right.
But housing prices in California, the median price home in California, fell 55%.
When?
It's not going to fall 50%. It's unlikely
right.
that it's going to fall 50%. And I say unlikely because there's other intervening factors influencing the market at all times. Tell me how bad the next recession is going to be, Pat. Is it going to be mild or is it going to be severe? You don't know.
You don't know, right? Yeah, yeah.
What I'm doing is calling the trends. I mean,
you're calling the trend.
Cycles, you can pretty much, I mean, looking at the best way to determine what's going to happen in the future is to study the past. And I do a lot of that, even though that it's just not pure. But then I use, you know, key indicators, as you know, five key indicators that are good at determining the turning points in the market with a, you know, pretty precisely.
So let me ask you this, Robert. I mean, what do you say to these people that are like, hey, listen, you know, there's a lot of legs left in this market. You know, the economy is booming. The unemployment's at an all-time high. Interest rates are incredibly bombastically low. You know, there's more investors out there than ever before. There's cash. You know, we've got 5 years of legs worth, right? This is different this time. You know, if Trump wins again, it's a whole nother ballpark for the next 6 years. It's going to be a 12-year run. Talk to me about that. What do you say to those people?
It's different this time are the five most dangerous words in the world.
Whoa. Do tell.
Because rarely is it. People rationalize, Pat. It's human nature. People rationalize. They believe what they want to believe. Study the past to predict the future. Study the cycles. Because you know what's the most predictable thing in the world? Human nature. Human nature fluctuates between extreme greed and extreme fear. How long's that been going on? Oh, I don't know, 2,000 years? Has it ever changed? No. Will it ever change? No. And that's what drives the cycles. Human nature. And that's your edge. You understand human nature. That things get too expensive, too expensive, and then people stop buying because they become fearful, and then all of a sudden they become fearful, and the fear feeds on fear. It drives the prices down where they become cheap, and all of a sudden prices start rebounding again. People see prices going up where rising prices fuel more rising prices. Over 50% of market movement, Pat, is based on market psychology, how people feel about things. And people get scared, and people get fearful. And fear is a stronger emotion than greed, and that's where we're in the beginning stages of right now. See, because people think this thing is going to continue forever, which it has about one chance in 10 of doing that. If everything's
one,
so good,
yeah, wow.
Some home sales are down.
Tell me about
that.
How come
building permits are down?
Damn.
See, what you don't have to do...
What
you
do you think? Wait a minute. What if they say, oh, that's just a glip? You know, that building permits are down, right? And cite your facts, too, by the way.
I'm sorry, what?
So you're saying building permits are down, which they are,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like in California, they're down something like 16% year over year.
Yep, and they're down in a lot of areas. Most areas are down, right? Less
people. Well, I think the United States are down, too. But California looks like it's leading the country. California's in a downturn. Not all places in the United States are in a downturn. As you know, I follow... 17 major cities in the United States, and they're not all in a downturn. California is.
Okay. So what about, like will the other areas follow?
Most likely.
Most likely. Okay.
History says yes.
All right. And so what advice do you have for real estate agents out there? Like, how, help us with this.
Well, you better be prepared. You better tighten your belt. Now's not the time. You guys have been, I've been around the real estate industry for 50 years, and I've seen successful agents come and go. During the good times, they're making a lot of money, and then the downturn hits, and their income gets slashed by 50%. I've only seen that happen, you know, for the last 50 straight years. And so what I would suggest is that if you have, you've been making a lot of money, doing real well during this upcycle, and all of a sudden you've rewarded yourself with a house that's more expensive with a bigger mortgage payment because your income, let's say you've been making $100,000 per year with income and you can afford that new house, be prepared for your income to fall to $50,000 per year during the downturn. And if you can't make those mortgage payments, you got a problem.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not only, see, the people within the real estate industry, Pat, are more vulnerable than anybody else. Home builders. I mean, I come from the home building industry. You think that's a boom and bust business? You think home builders go bankrupt
yeah,
all the time?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I'm friends with a financial planner, and he says, you know, he has a lot of builders as clients, and he tells them all. He says, listen, you know, this is not an if question; it's a when question. He tells them, listen, you need to take money out of your company, and you need to put it in other vehicles that your company is not attached to, because this is a when question. You know, the shit is going to hit the fan as a builder. You're going to lose. You potentially could lose your ass on everything.
So what, I've been around the home building industry, like I said, for over 50 years. So I probably have more experience than 99% of all people. Do you know what percent of all home builders? When I talk about home builders, I'm talking about people that build spec homes. That are out there building spec homes. Do you know what percent of all home builders eventually go bankrupt?
No, tell me.
Over 80%.
Over 80%.
Yep, 80. That's
and when they're selling, they're making big bucks.
Oh, they're flying around in helicopters, Pat. Dude, I live here in San Diego. I know some of the. I've seen the big guys come and go. I've seen companies that were the king of the mountain here in Southern California back in the 80s. They're non-existent now. You never even hear their name. They went bankrupt.
Yeah.
It's the riskiest. Maybe restaurants could rank up there with them. But is there anything more risky than being a real estate developer? Not that I'm aware of. Is there anything more exciting than being a real estate developer? Absolutely not. That's the thrill. And it's not just, you know, it's a magnificent building business, but risk management, real estate guys are the last to figure out anything.
Wow. That's phenomenal.
That's just an observation based on 70 years experience.
Agents tend to be the same way, I believe. You know, and I've known agents my whole entire life and been one. And, you know, they generally will sell the hell out of telling someone else to buy rentals and telling someone else to invest, but they don't do it themselves. They don't save themselves. And lo and behold, they're in the business 30 years. And next thing you know, you see that they got a tax lien on their primary residence, or, you know, it's just ridiculous, right?
All vulnerable. You want to guarantee in life, buy a toaster. What I tell 25% of my subscribers are in the real estate business. The only ones that I ever talk to or go out to have a drink with are the ones that have been through at least minimum two real estate cycles. In other words, they've been in business 30 years. Until you've been through two complete real estate cycles, you have no idea what the world's like. My dad built homes for 55 years. So he's an old boy. He, you know, he was a Marine in World War II, fought in South Pacific on Okinawa, you know, so he's like the old man's man kind of a guy. One of his favorite sayings was, never take advice from anybody that's under 50 years old. And they go, why is that, Mr. Campbell? Because they haven't had their head in the cement mixer enough times.
Yeah, well, it's true. And, you know, I know a lot of rich guys that are young. And they know about the last crash. It wasn't that long ago. But they really didn't, like, get their ass handed to them in the last crash.
And you can be smart at any age. You can be a smart 30-year-old. You can be a smart 35-year-old. But you cannot be a wise 30-year-old or a wise 35-year-old. The people I listen to, do you think I listen to what 35-year-old kids are saying about market conditions? Or do you think I listen to guys that are in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s that have been through like 8 cycles before and have some depth to their understanding? Like Warren Buffett, he's wise. You think he knows a few things? You think he's been through the wars? It's like somebody that's never been in combat talking to somebody that's been in combat 3 times. Does the guy that's never been in combat have a clue what being in combat is like? Not a clue. And it all comes with experience. And that's why, kind of like, the older you get, you know, you couldn't have convinced me that. When I was 35 years old, I wanted to own the most expensive home in Rancho Santa Fe sitting on top of a hill. You know what's interesting, Pat? Things change in life. Does a 35-year-old know how things can change? No clue. Does a 70-year-old or an 80-year-old? Oh, yeah, he's seen the changes. So now all of a sudden he gets defensive. You know, are you a football fan, Pat?
No.
Not at all. Okay, do you know who Bill Belichick is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, he's a coach of the Patriots. He's been to the Super Bowl 9 times recently, and he's won 6. That's a pretty good track record, right?
Indeed.
He is the most, when he was working for Bill Parcells, who was the coach of the Giants, Bill Parcells gave him the nickname Doom, D-O-O-M. And he says, you are the most negative person in the world. He says, and he goes, you're always worried about what can go wrong. Always, what can go wrong? You know what I found out? You know what I've learned in my life? The most successful people are the people that focus on risk. Because things can go wrong. And one of the secrets
is
avoiding disaster. And Bill Belichick, I mean, does Bill Belichick, you know, does he stay in bed in the morning under the covers, or is he a player? But he's always focused on defense. You're not going to beat him. He's going to let you beat yourself.
So we're in an offensive market, is what you're saying. We've been offending, playing offense for a long time here, right? Seven years, and equally amount of defense time is coming ahead.
Right.
In your opinion, 6 to 2025, and there's not enough real estate agents and real estate investors that are in that defensive mode at this time, right? They're all highly leveraged. They all want to get more leveraged. And they all think that there's value add, meaning that they all think that if they buy something that someone else is not buying, they could add value and make it worth more money. It's the greater sucker rule.
I like the greater fool theory, right? It doesn't matter what I pay for it. There's a fool greater than I am that'll pay me more.
Because I'm going to make it better, or they missed out on this statistic about this hospital coming in, or which may be true, but also it may be completely not have nothing to do with whether the property goes up or down, or whether they can get X amount of rent for it, or whether they're even be able to sell it in 3 years.
Right. Life is one of probabilities. There are no 100% probabilities, and there are no 0% probabilities. What you always want to be doing is be able to evaluate probabilities and always have probability on your side. When the probability is high that housing prices will appreciate, you should be invested in the market. When the probability is high that real estate is going to depreciate, you should be reducing your exposure to the market. And most people don't know how to estimate probabilities. And it's not just real estate agents. We're talking about everybody Everybody, Pat, did you know that at age 65, less than 10% of all men are comfortable financially?
Say that again?
Less than 10% are comfortable financially.
Yeah, that's messed up, isn't it?
So, I mean, all the wealth promoters out there, they have you want you to believe how easy it is, yet the facts of history say that less than 10% are actually that successful. I mean, and the only reason I'm mentioning that is that it's a lot harder than people think it is, Pat. You got to be on your game. It's like saying when I was a kid, I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. Hey, I was pretty good. Is pretty good going to make it to the major leagues?
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you this. What stats are you following now? What stats do you follow as a guy that follows stats so that people listening could start following these stats too?
Okay, as per my book, Timing the Real Estate Market, which is a book I wrote in 2002, and by the way, everybody listening in, I just updated it with the fifth edition. And the content in the book isn't any different than the first edition, but all the charts have been updated for the simple reason I want to show people that the model I created almost 20 years ago works as well today as it did then.
Good.
You only have to follow five key indicators, and that's a great, great question. Throw away everything else. If you threw away everything else and only followed these five key indicators, which is what I do, you'd be so far ahead of everybody else that it's amazing. The five key indicators are this. Number one, existing home sales. Number two, new home building permits. Number three, notice of defaults. Number four, foreclosure sales. And number five, interest rates. Those are the only indicators you have to follow. Forget everything else. Forget it. And you will be and you will call turns in the market and the direction of the market with a success rate of 80 to 90%. That's the track record going back almost 40 years. So is it perfect? No. Is there anything better than that? No, not even close. So that does is give you an edge.
I'm going to slow this down because Robert talks fast here, and a lot of guys are driving. So number one is existing home sales. So it's simple, right? And through your MLS, look at your existing home sales and compare it to last month and compare it to the same month last year, the same month the year before, that sort of thing.
Right.
Number two is
look at it on a rolling year-over-year basis. And that's explained in my book. That's all explained. I explained all my formulas in my book 100%. Nothing's held back.
Not good.
So number one is existing home sales. Number two, building permits.
Now talk to me about building permits. Like, where can I follow that? Kay Schiller?
New home building permits.
Just Google
which
it.
Which is an industry, as I've mentioned, is dear to my heart. When things
new
are good.
Home, so if you're from Cleveland, Ohio, just Google new home building permits, Cleveland, Ohio, and get the stats to compare those. Because guys, here's something you need to know about builders, especially these very large corporate builders. They do a massive amount of information gathering, of due diligence, of intelligence gathering about areas, right? Way more. They have 10 full-time employees that do nothing but look at economics and things of whether they should buy and develop in different areas. And so, you know, pay attention to what they're doing, because if they're dropping their prices, if they're, you know, running scared and turning down deals and not building as much, they know something that you don't know. And it's important to watch these new building permits.
It's even more simple than that, Pat. Much more simple than that. I believe in the KISS principle. Keep it simple, sweetheart.
Yes.
Look, if the market is strong and they're selling a lot of new homes, more and more every month, more and more every year, that means they're making more and more money. Are they gonna pull more building permits? Yes.
Of course.
It's profitable. If all of a sudden the market slows down and reverses, and they start selling less and less homes, and they're sold at smaller and smaller profits, or even losses, are they going to keep pulling building permits? No. They're going to start slashing inventory, the prices of inventory that they had. It's real, real simple. I mean, this is such common sense stuff that, you know, I don't know what they're teaching kids in high school anymore, but you could teach high school kids how to do this. And they look at it and go, hey, that's really easy. And they go, exactly. You know, one of the biggest problems people have, Pat, and I mean, I had to overcome this myself, is to overthink.
Yeah.
You think you're smarter than the data. You're not smarter than the data. I had somebody very, very, very wise that was my mentor, a guy named Richard Russell from La Jolla, California. He wrote Dow Theory Letters for 58 straight years, and he was the dean of all newsletter writers. He called me on the phone one day. He's one of the 10 people in the United States that got my newsletter for free. And he goes, Campbell, what you do is exceptional. Stick with your model. It's right 80 to 90% of the time. Don't go out there speculating about what you think is going to happen, because you don't need to do that. And you know what? He was right. And
he was
you know how old he was when he told me that? He was 85 years old.
That's all. And he would know. He's wise. So let me jump to number 3 and 4, which are similar: defaults and foreclosures. Defaults is somebody who has defaulted, like they haven't paid their mortgage payment, and it's usually because of an economic reason. They lost their job. They're not making the money they used to make. Whatever it is, they have defaulted. And then number 4 is what happens after they default too many times. They get foreclosed on. Tell me about
now. The bank owns the property,
right? Tell me about these two. how do you follow these, and why is it important?
You have to buy that information. I buy that information, you know, from DataQuick, Foreclosure Radar. That is available. I mean, that each, you know, real estate information, the kind of data that I follow, isn't like stock market information that, you know, you can track this information going back 150 years, that it's starting to become more available. But also the mortgage, Mortgage Bankers Association, they publish data on that, but national data. Most of these companies publish national data. But national data is okay for the big picture trend, but you've got to be more precise, and you have to follow that data for the major city that you live in and that you're investing in, Pat. So if you live in Los Angeles, who gives a hell what the data is for Austin, Texas? You want to know what the data is saying for Los Angeles.
True. And then number 5 is rates. Now, this is one that's debatable. This is one that we need to talk about, because rates are at an all-time low, dude. What am I looking for as far as rates?
30-year fixed interest rates. Just
track
them.
Like, what about them, right? Like, let's say, okay, well, here it is. We're in the ninth inning, according to some of your stats. We're in the ninth inning of the damn game. But rates?
No, we're in the first inning of the downturn.
Okay. First inning in a downturn. So what do I look for in rates? Do I look if rates are going up? Do I look if they're going down? Which?
That's just one of the indicators that you follow. And in fact, interestingly, Pat, interest rates are the least predictive indicator that I use.
Least.
Rates are the least important.
And yet they're the most of what most people are, because I've talked to some people recently like, dude, rates are the lowest ever. Market ain't going to hit the skids anytime soon.
Doesn't matter. It's all about the mood of the market. It's about psychology. When the mood of the market changes from speculation and greed to one to risk aversion and fear, it doesn't matter what rates are doing. Let's take California as an example. Let's use a real life example. California had a real estate downturn from 1990 through 1996, 6 years of falling prices. Interest rates during that period of time fell from 10.5% to 7.5%. And housing prices still fell 20%. And housing prices in California peaked in 2006 when rates were 6.5%. When they hit bottom in 2012, rates were 3.5%. They fell 50%. Did that stop the decline? Nope.
Yeah, very
you can't. Rates are the least of the five, guys.
Existing home sales, new builds, new building permits, defaults, foreclosures, and leased.
And interest rates are important. Here's where interest rates are important. If you're in a real estate upturn and rates are coming down, that's like pouring gasoline on fire.
Wow.
Things really take off.
That's what's
That's what history shows.
Indeed. Indeed.
So I mean, it's real estate cycles are so fascinating, Pat. I mean, it's unbelievable. Since I published my book in 2002, I've probably tripled my level of knowledge. I thought I knew a lot. I thought I knew a lot when I was 60. No, when I was 55. Now 20 years later, I realized I hardly knew anything. But you know what it takes? What I'd like all these readers to take away from this is the biggest failing people have is they don't focus enough on risk. Too many people have dollar signs in their eyes. You have to take risks. I mean, you have to take risks. All people that do well financially take risks, but they're calculated risks. It's like counting cards in blackjack. If you don't count cards in blackjack, the casino will eventually take all your money. If you can find a place where they will allow you to count cards in blackjack, you will take their money. That's your edge.
Yeah.
And it's all about risk management. You're counting cards, you're looking at data, and say, this is a good time to bet, this is not a good time to bet. But you have an edge. Whatever you invest in, whether it's stocks, real estate, bonds, golds, baseball cards, do something you have an edge in. That's what you're going to be most successful in. You know, it's hard to make money playing another man's game. So if real estate's your game, be as good as you can possibly be in it, and just have something that gives you a statistical advantage as far as making the right decisions as opposed to the wrong decisions, and that gives you a far better chance of being successful.
Yeah.
Being in that 10% group at age 65. I mean, okay, let's say there's 20 of us guys. I like to talk about guys, because I don't know about how women think. We're 20 years old. Don't all of us at age 25 imagine us being successful financially by the time we retire?
Yeah, that's funny.
But 90% don't achieve that goal. What does that tell you?
It's
harder than you think.
Yeah, it is harder. That's what people don't get. Business is hard.
Exactly.
Investing is hard. I mean, it's all very hard.
I watch CNBC because I trade the market. Okay. I mean, that's one of my side hustles. I developed a trading system for short-term trading that for every buck I lose, I make two. So that's a successful business for me. I trade the market. Guys on CNBC, the stock market guys, do they ever tell you that getting ahead financially and staying ahead financially is hard? Does anybody ever say that?
No. No, it's funny. It's funny. Well, listen, Robert, what I'm going to do is wrap this up is I'm going to put all of Robert's information. I'm going to put a link to his newsletter. I'm going to put a link to everything. If you want to get his book, it'll all be there. It's going to be on hybendigital.com/Robert Campbell. It's CAMPBELL. That's CAMPBELL. Robert, this has been a blast, my friend. If I'm ever up in your neck of the woods, I will definitely look you up. We'll get together and break some bread.
So where are you from, Pat? Where are you calling from?
I'm from suburb of Baltimore, Maryland. I live in
Baltimore, Maryland.
Yep. Indeed.
Baltimore, Maryland. I'm a baseball fan. Your team's not doing too well this year, Pat.
Yeah. It's hard to get them to do good. Someday they will.
I've appreciated this, and sure, that's great. That's great, and I want to encourage everybody that, you know, being successful is within your control 100%. But you've got to make more good decisions than bad decisions, and that's where that's the challenge. But it can be done.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate it, and just a blast of a time.
Thank you very much, Pat. Talk to you later. Okay.
Rockstar Nation, thank you for listening to Real Estate Rockstars. Listen, I need a favor. If you find this free content helpful, if you find our downloadable items from each guest helpful, please, I need you to pull out your pointing finger. Yes, the one finger that points at people and hit subscribe. Yes, subscribe. The more subscribers we get, the better we look in the ratings and the easier it is to get guests like Robert Kiyosaki, Barbara Corcoran, all the players that are on a million-dollar listing in the different cities. All that stuff makes it easier the more subscribers we get. So please subscribe. And listen, there's a lot of places you can leave comments. There's a lot of places you can like. We're on Facebook. We have an Instagram page. Instagram page is I am Pat Hyben. The Facebook is Real Estate Rockstars Radio. Feel free to leave us comments there. The most popular form of commenting seems to happen on YouTube. Yes, for whatever reason, it's a very open environment. So just go to YouTube and go to Real Estate Rockstars Radio and leave us comments there. Some of them we will read on the show. And we love your feedback. So thanks, guys, and I hope you are having a great day. Oh, and also, listen, if you're going to subscribe and you haven't already left us a review on iTunes, please do that too. Have a great day, and thanks so much, Rockstar Nation. I really appreciate you.